It's the Score North Twin Show.
So Dex was at Target Field last night, the official beat podcaster of the Score North Twin Show here. And Judd and I, we were just across the street at Target Center taking in the raucous atmosphere. Yeah, we were waving as we walked through the skyway.
It was excellent. Because we did wave. You didn't see it in class.
I saw you. I just ignored it.
You were just hunched over, continuing on your way with your backpack on your shoulder, like typical.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
But it was pretty funny. Like seconds after that Wolves game ended, and I could see it in the skyway. People were walking by when Buck literally ties the game. Yeah. So people in the skyway definitely were able to at least see. It wasn't a big crowd yesterday, but see and hear a little bit of a pop from when Buck tied the game in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, so we had drama in both Target Center and Target Field, but Judd and I, we did have the game. Judd on his laptop had the Twins games. We were kind of keeping an eye, and I don't know, like they were down 3-1. It was the seventh inning, and I kind of stopped paying attention because the Wolves game was getting to a critical point. And so who's this pitcher that was shoving last night for the White Sox? This Fetty?
Yeah.
Fed?
Fetty was.
Fetty?
Fedorino.
Fetty was just shoving last night.
Absolutely. I literally thought the only chance, and I had this too, like the only chance Twins have to win this game at this point is get to the bullpen. That's the only chance they're going to have. Fetty was unbelievable. He runs into trouble in the first, and then I believe sent down 17 in a row, 16, God. 17 batters in a row, a ton of swings and misses. He was a Nationals guy, went to Japan, I believe, a few years ago. Now he's back in the big leagues with the White Sox, and the Twins loaded up lefties against him. I mean, the first four guys in the order yesterday were lefties. You had two switch hitters.
Kepler was, four, you're right.
Yeah, four lefties to start. There was two switch hitters, too. Like, it was just lefty, lefty, lefty barrage to try to put up a mismatch. Didn't matter, because Fetty was just all over them yesterday. Yeah.
So we were going live because I think, like you said, it happened right after the Wolves game was over. So we go live on the Score North YouTube channel, Flagrant Howls celebrating. You know, we got thousands of people joining on YouTube. And then I see in the comments, whoa, Buxton homer. Whoa, Twins walk off. So there are still people that are paying attention. What, before we get to a Royce Lewis update here, which is going to be kind of the headline topic of this show and a random Twin of the Week. What did they announce for attendance out of curiosity at a Twins home game against the worst team in baseball with the Timberwolves playing game two against the Suns at the same exact time?
I'll pull up the figure here in just a little bit. Sometimes with those attendance numbers, like I'm pretty good at writing them down. And then sometimes like nights like last night, I'm like, I mean, I don't, is this really going to matter to a degree? No, I will say
11,200 announced attendance. How many were actually inside Target Field?
Less than 5,000.
Less than 5,000?
Okay. Yeah. Between yesterday and the Friday night game against the Tigers last Friday, easily the smallest attended games of the season. Saturday and Sunday actually were pretty well attended, even though they were day games and the sun was out a little bit. And Monday was Bark at the Park Day, so there was tons of doggies.
I was watching that on TV next to my dog on the couch, and they kept ringing the doorbell sounder. Yeah. And on Tampa the couch, the Maya thing. Was like,
huh? Yeah.
Tampa Bay did the same thing.
Vinny Boy was at the grandparents for doggy daycare the last few days, and they had to turn off the game because both dogs would hear the chimes, and eventually they just turned off the game because the dogs kept going
nuts. Dogs in the park start barking when they play the doorbell sound?
A little bit. So they put them all in. I remember when this came out, we were having a big office conversation with like Ross and even Grant from My Talks. Like, you know, I love baseball and dogs. I just don't know if that's a good idea. They put all the dog people like in ones. It's not like there's dogs all over the ballpark. They're segregated to two sections on the left side by the left field.
Do they put like pee pads and stuff, or if they have to like lift a leg in the concourse, are they
or
just
like
going
poop bags? If your dog poops, do you have to like stop and pick it up there?
I would hope so. Yeah.
You know, common courtesy. But I also don't know, like, what the ticket – is there, like, a ticket fee? Like, it's a liability fee of, like, hey, you're bringing your dog, and there's an extra $15 surcharge if it craps or something.
Bites somebody's arm off or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
What, are you going to bring, like, a killer pit bull?
Well, I mean, but are they vetting the dogs that are – they're not, like – you're not submitting a doggy DNA test to bring your
– background checks.
Oh, yeah, background checks?
Yeah, background checks, and they got to come through the detectors. So, like, if the doggy's packing heat, you're going to find out.
That doggy's UCL came back a little weird, and he's going to have to go back to Fort Myers before he comes back.
Every twin's dog, yeah, has Tommy John.
Man, so okay, we could talk red hot twins. We'll get to just, I don't know, how much do these wins matter? I think there's some value here because you're at least like getting back to the point where you can see 500. But to me, the bigger picture thing here is as they claw their way back, nothing really matters unless they get Correa back and they like get their closer Duran back and Royce Lewis. So you've had a bunch of conversations around the ballpark, Declan, the last couple of days. What is the Royce Lewis injury update?
So Royce will meet with the doctor at the end of this week to kind of reassess things. So that was kind of the plan all along when he suffered the quad injury of this is going to be kind of like a month of rest and relaxation to a degree. Now, Royce did start some baseball activities. He has sat in on bullpens. He's been swinging. He hasn't started running yet. They're going to start that run progression, I think, here soon. But he'll meet with a doctor at the end of this week to kind of get the next update of more of a timetable of when he could return. So and a couple other conversations I've had around it, because with significant leg injuries, like, you could get multiple PRP injections. From what I've gathered, he will not, at least until that doctor's meeting, maybe they say otherwise, a second PRP is really only required if it's a chronic issue. So like Byron Buxton has had multiple PRP injections. He's had a chronic arthritic issue. This is a very acute injury, obviously, with a quad tear. So unless the doctor says otherwise, I don't believe a second PRP injection will be necessary from some conversations I've had, even with some medical people as well, because I wanted clarity on that, what the second PRP would look like there. So that part is good. I mean, if it was up to Royce Lewis, from conversations I've had, he would want to play tomorrow. I mean, the dude is just such an optimistic guy and wants to play right away.
He seems like a fast healer, too. Like, he kind of, he's had a bunch of injuries, but it feels like he kind of comes back and he's just like ready to rock right when he comes back, more than maybe other players.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely and Derek Falvey, too. We caught up with Derek Falvey, and Falvey said a few other things, too, on, you know, we're well aware he's a fast healer and stuff, but, you know, you got to be careful with this injury, which is true.
Yeah.
You can't rush him back necessarily. I will say, though, I would be pretty surprised if it's June 1st or later with Royce Lewis.
Do you think he might be back before June 1st?
Yes, I really think so. And I don't even, they might make him do a rehab assignment, because he has been out, but that is kind of player elect to a degree. If I'm betting, I bet it is a rehab assignment. I don't know if Royce will want to do a rehab assignment, but they might.
Especially
say,
if
hey,
it's
dude,
St. Paul, like, yeah, if he can just right go play two or three games across town, like, you're not, we're not making you go to Rochester, New York for a week or anything like that.
I don't blame them though, because he's been hurt so much that, like, I'm not letting him rush back at all. Like it's not like this is his first time he's hurt and then it's like, okay, yeah, you might be able to come back. Like, this is, it's been different things, but I think this is one case where if the Twins are going to be cautious, it's incredibly smart, because you want to give yourself the best chance of, once he comes back, he's back. Because without him, I think it's pretty clear they're largely screwed. Like, he's that important, and it's not just as a player, it's as a presence. You think about last year, everything changed with him. Like, this was people forget now because the playoff win was so fun, but this was a dead-ass team, and this team felt like, you know, yes, they were winning a bad division, but it felt like there were a ton of uncapitalized areas, and once he got back and stayed in, I felt the vibe of this team totally changed. So I don't blame them. I don't blame them for saying, once you're back, we want to make sure that you have your best chance to stay back.
Yeah, I'm definitely okay with the team holding the player back a little bit in this case. But I think just putting everything together that Declan's saying, if there was any worry, and there was on my part when he goes down and they're saying like, oh, we might not even be able to have a doctor visit and evaluate until almost May 1st, which is, you know, we're a week away from May 1st.
Right.
To me, that said, is it like All-Star break? Are we talking about him missing the first half of the season? And I think like the peace of mind here is we're not talking about late July, August. We're talking about, and we don't have a date yet, but something earlier than my worst fears a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's my main takeaway here is, oh, okay, he's, I don't know how other fans and media thought, but he seems to be progressing better than I was thinking maybe 3 weeks ago, which I'll take it.
Yeah. I think that's safe to assume too. And look, the guy is optimistic. He always wants to play. And I think that the hamstring injury that which he suffered towards the end of regular season that forced him to DH in the playoffs, I believe caused him much more discomfort in terms of pain tolerance than this is. But much like a hamstring and a quad, you know, you might feel really good one day, and then the next day you could have a huge setback. So that doctor visit that's coming at the end of the month is probably going to give us more of a realistic timetable. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to see this guy before June 1st. I really do.
Yeah, interesting. So. Okay. So can you, just doing some schedule looking here, right? They're 9 and now the Guardians continue to win, by the way. We're already like looking at the standings on April 24th, but you're 7.5 games out, which isn't when you're talking about now, if you're chasing like the Yankees or if you were chasing the Braves or something, I'd say, well, you're probably cooked. But if we believe the Guardians are going to come back to earth a little bit, the Royals are going to come back to earth, then the being 7.5 games out is not the end of the world when you're about to get maybe Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa back. But it just heightens the importance of go take care of business. You got five more games against the White Sox in the next week. You got these three games against the Angels, and they're more competitive than the White Sox, but like you can take 2 out of 3 from the Angels.
That's the key to me.
It's the 9-4 plan that Declan outlined last week, and they're kind of still on track if they can take 2 more from the White Sox here.
And it's weird because you should beat the White Sox, but as Dex and I talked about on the extra inning show on Sunday, the White Sox are so bad. It's not like that you can like look at those wins and say, okay, those wins are impressive. You just need to win those games.
Yeah.
But can you go play the Angels, who had lost 5 consecutive games, and then I think they beat Baltimore yesterday. Can you then take 2 or 3 there? Because I think if you take 2 or 3 there on the road, it's a step. And then that gets back to what I've been saying is, at that point in time, can you tread water until Correa and Royce get back? Because if you're within striking distance in this division then, and I think Cleveland will go through a slump for sure. Like, I don't think that the Cleveland Ball Club is that good. I think you've got a real chance. But, like, I'd love to see you go in and play the Angels and win a couple of games there. I think that would bolster confidence, not just with the fan base, but the team a lot.
Yeah. Does it make you guys feel any better that the Astros are off to an even worse start than the Twins? The Astros, I think they lost again yesterday.
That's awesome.
They are 7-17. So these two teams that played in this incredibly exciting divisional round series at Target Field are having this huge hangover. In the Twins' case, injuries. But when you dig into the Astros, like Jose Abreu hitting 0-65 through his first 19 games that he's played, no home runs. Alex Bregman, 90 plate appearances, no home runs, and a 5.55 OPS. I mean, it's kind of crazy how there's a couple teams at the top, like the Guardians. Like, there's some divisions that are just flipped all around on their head right now. Josh Hader for the Astros has an 8.38 earned run average in his first 11 games.
That's Declan's guy.
Love Josh.
Yeah, man.
You're a huge Josh.
Ryan Presley has an 8.31 ERA as the setup man with the Astros right now. It's crazy, dude.
He was starting to slide a little bit. I mean, it's been a hell of a run.
Not that much.
It's been a hell of a run. You know what happens once you hit that cliff? Once you hit that cliff, boom.
That's what you're seeing on Write That Down.
Exactly right. Me and Carlos Santana.
But are there things, and I just saw like over Judge's shoulder watching the game last night, but I agree that you can't take a ton away from beating this White Sox team, but like, can you take some things away at least, Declan, from the last couple days?
Absolutely. Well, yesterday even, like, it felt in that game like the Twins were down 10 runs, and it was 3-1 for like the first 6 innings. I mean, the Twins jumped out at first, and then maybe we can get in a little bit of Pablo Lopez stuff because I'm not 100% buying necessarily what's being said about that, but it felt like if the Twins can get to the bullpen and win a game and win this game, you'll take it. And Rocco had mentioned too, like, look, this year has been obviously inconsistent and hasn't been a fun start. But eventually the Twins are going to have to win a game like that where you're down the seventh, you're going in the eighth. Can you show the world you can win a game, even if it's against the lowly White Sox? I think for them to get a walk-off win after trailing for basically more than 75% of that game was huge for them. And yes, I at this point, you can't really look too far up at the standings. I do fall into the cliche of control what you can control. And right now, you got to beat up on these bad teams. Don't worry about Cleveland going into a rut because eventually, yeah, they're probably going to level off. But you start winning games and kind of the rest of the stuff takes care of its own. So, yeah, I think there's been positives. I mean, Trevor Larnach has looked great. Max Kepler, through the first two games, is ripping the cover off the ball. My fear is just like the bottom four of that order have been automatic outs until Correa and Lewis come back. Like after the fifth, sixth spot in that batting order, it is a wing and a prayer of,
hey, oh my guy, God. Carlos Santana showed some life last night, got on That's base right. a couple times. Yep. Okay. Or I think he doubled his on base percentage for the season. It was great.
I think he's got hits in three straight games. So we really yeah. should stop yeah. the presses.
Let's go, dude. He's not cooked. He's not cooked.
Kyle Farmer but, now 073.
Yeah, that's going to near its end too. And Derek Falvey talked about, you know, like, all right, so like with Walners and the Varlins that you can send down because there's a safety net there that they're young and they can still, you know, get right in AAA. Like, how do you balance, you know, the Carlos Santanas and the Kyle Farmers, the veterans who are off their like really slow starts? And Falvey still mentioned that it's early, but I mean, it's something they're looking at. I think if this Kyle Farmer thing lingers into May and like Royce Lewis is back or Austin Martin can play some third. Rocco talked about that on Monday during availability. Shortstop's not an option for Austin Martin. That is not an option for him. So going to be left field or left field, some center, and third in a pinch. I don't think he wants to put Austin Martin at third, but we might be watching the end of the Kyle Farmer experiment. It has not been going well at all.
Speaking of taking things, here's one. With the Buxton home run, which was a laser last night, like that was, he crushed that ball. Where's he at the plate too? Because to me, his start, like it's great. He's playing in the outfield again. He's obviously fantastic out there, but you know, he scuffled at the plate. I think that's being kind for a start. But when he starts to hit the ball, like he did last night, like, that home run to me is an ideal Buck home run because it's a laser. It's not like him. It does. That didn't look like I'm trying to hit a home run. That looked like I'm trying to murder a baseball, which I actually like from him. So like, what progress are you seeing from him at the plate? Cause that I think is one of the most paramount things. Like he has to produce there. And when he does, he's fantastic.
So, I mean, the last few games he has looked a little bit better, but like, I have given up, and this is what I was trying to allude in the offseason. I have given up on Byron Buxton being a consistently dangerous Major League Baseball hitter. I've given up on that. I'm not saying you can't just forget about him, but when this team gets to full strength and he's healthy right now, he's playing elite defense in center field, this is a guy that should bat sixth or seventh in your order and maybe have some pop, and that's it. Like, I think we have to really honestly remove the idea of what could Byron Buxton be at the plate. We now know who he is. I don't think there is a consistent gear that you can just say, oh, but like last week he's been really good. Can we get that over 162? No, you aren't. So I think we just honestly have to temper our plate expectations, because if he's healthy and playing center field, that's the most important thing to me. And then if he can run some baseballs, great. That's where I'm at with Buck.
I think, yeah, I'm fine with him. It looks like he's coming alive a little bit, and that's great. Is he ever going to be this model of consistency from week to week where he's just kind of an on-base machine that steadily plods along? No, he's a power hitter, and he can be kind of a streaky power hitter, and then the injuries. So I'm kind of like, if this lineup's at full strength, Correa's going to bat above him, I think anyways. Royce Lewis should bat above him. Julian should bat above him. I think the version of Alex Kirilloff that we've seen so far in the first month probably bats. Some of this might be like lefty righty dependent, but yeah, I think, but it is the fact, I think the major win here is we are now almost a full calendar month into the season. He has yet to hit the injured list. They're still running him out there in center field on a regular basis. He's ramping up, barreling up some more baseballs. Like the fact that he is out there playing center field for the first month on a regular basis, like, I don't know if we thought that was going to happen 8-9 months ago ever again.
Which gets me to the question that I want you, Declan, to find out. How did we not remove the flap from the knee 2 years ago? That's my question.
I don't think they knew what the hell. I mean, that he had like arthritis in his knees. Like
I don't know
what the hell, but.
But then one day,
he talked to like world renowned like surgeons.
Yeah, how did we not find this was the problem? Like it was chronic.
Are you mad at the Twins or mad at like the independent doctors? I'm mad at the Oregon.
Well, I don't know if mad's the right word. I'm perplexed. That's the right word. I'm perplexed about how the doctors, like, if there was just this flap there that was causing problems. Because Declan's right, we're talking about it. We were talking about it as a chronic problem. I mean, Rocco used the word chronic, the arthritis. I am very curious about, like, did we know about it and think it wasn't a problem? Did we not really identify it? Like, to me, there's an actual story here. Like, if Byron
you're looking to blame someone for why.
If Buxton can now play 100 or more games, knock on wood, I'm looking for the why it took so long.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a legit question.
Get in contact with the clinic that, you know, did the, I don't like. Is it possible that I'm just projecting and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but
go ahead.
Is it possible that this procedure is sort of a last ditch thing? That's a little bit risky and it cuts time off your career, but now it doesn't matter. But it did when you were 25, 26, like
this is what I want to know. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Another question before we get to random twin of the week here, just real quick. So Pablo Lopez, he hasn't been a disaster so far this year. Like his fielding independent pitching number is it's like essentially your ERA translated through the things you can control. Strikeouts, walk rate, home runs allowed. So his expected ERA, if you look at FIP that way, is 3.61. It was 3.33 last year. So there might be some noise here, but he's just not been as sharp. He's been a little clunky, some shorter outings. Are we like, what's our panic level with Pablo Lopez? After, by the way, last year, career high innings, career high strikeouts, probably just career high leverage moments and high effort pitches and innings. Like, is there a worry here at all?
I have a curiosity on him for sure. Yesterday, the velocity too was significantly down, which is never a good sign for a power pitcher like that. Now, he said he blamed a little bit of the situation of 38 pitch inning. He had an awful pickoff attempt that also led to a big run. So he said he blamed his mental game. He said, like, I was not in a good space today mentally. Hmm. And there was nothing wrong physically. He said he felt fine. I'll even say, like, in the clubhouse, he was just like sitting in his chair, seemed to be chilled out, wasn't overreacting, wasn't hiding in the medical area of the clubhouse. He was just out in the open, seemed mostly like Pablo. And Rocco said, I doesn't look like there's anything wrong either. Watch his start on Sunday. And I think we're going to have to, if the velocity is still down and the ineffectiveness, because Phil's right, he hasn't been as sharp, but something might be going on here. If the velocity is still down on Sunday, something's going on. Yeah. Something's a problem here.
Yeah. Especially when you're getting into the warmer weather, you go out to LA.
That's concerning though, right there. If you're telling me
it's a field of landmines out there, man. Like for these pitchers. And if you're coming off career high innings, career high strikeouts, everything, I don't know, man.
But like, if we were to put together a list right now of guys that you could not lose long term, I mean, Royce is out. He's on there. Correa.
Pablo might be number one. Actually.
That's what I was going to say. If you take Pablo Lopez, like if there's something wrong here, I don't see how you recover from that.
Just because you don't have, I mean, not that you have like the depth to replace Carlos Correa either or Royce Lewis, but you don't have a number five starter right now. So imagine getting
right
now, you're down two starters and you're so all right. We'll keep an eye on it.
Good stuff, Dex.
Let's get to a random twin of the week here, gentlemen. Presented in part by our friends over at Red Cow. Red Cow is one of our favorite bar restaurants here on this show. You can find 6 locations in Minnesota, 5 in the Twin Cities, 1 in Rochester, and the food is ridiculous. The award-winning double barrel burger, the wings that include dry rub, barbecue, Japanese sticky, and buffalo flavorings, cheese curds, the best chips and dip you'll probably ever have. Chicken sandwiches, 36 beers on tap, local brews, craft cocktails, and you can belly up to the bar where there's a line of TVs for you to get the best viewing of whatever sporting event is on. So that's the Red Cow on your YouTube screen there in the North Loop. We were just at the Uptown location a couple weeks ago filming a couple episodes for Purple Daily later this summer. So Red Cow. And not that far from Red Cow in the North Loop is Element Hotel. If you're a Twins fan or you're just like coming in for, maybe you're coming in from out of town and you're looking for a great place to stay near the action, near Target Field, et cetera, Element Hotel, Declan.
Yeah, it's just right down the street from Target Field. It's also a Westin Hotel by Marriott. They have a lot of great different room options. It's a perfect staycation for a Twins game or a series. Or yeah, maybe you're just coming in to experience Minneapolis or the North Loop for the first time. It has complimentary breakfast, 24-hour fitness center. It is pet-friendly, perfect area to, you know, to stay in a great happening spot in Minneapolis. You can book your next stay by going to scorenorth.com/element, and you click that link, you'll get 15% off your room rate, I should say.
Your roommate, yeah.
Maybe bring a roommate. I don't know.
Hey, meet
it's
Frank.
Bob. Looking for somewhere to stay tonight.
I got 15% off this room. Now move over.
So 15% off by going to scorenorth.com/element. Shout out to Element Hotel for sponsoring the ScoreNorth Twin Show.
Okay, it's time for a random twin of the week here, where two members of the ScoreNorth Twin Show go head-to-head in a battle of twins' historical wits. We rotate. Whoever loses the previous week gives the clues for the next week. Last week, I correctly guessed Al Newman, so Declan puts out the clues this time for me and Judd. Judd, it's been quite some time. It's been about 2 months since you correctly guessed Joe Creedy.
I didn't correctly guess that. Declan struck out.
Oh, so you just won by default.
I backed That's into right. that win.
So it's been a long time. Darren Mastriani was your last legitimate win.
My bunny.
In the history of Random Twin, I have 14 wins. Declan has 13. Judd has 10. The last handful of Random Twins are Al Newman, Craig Monroe, Ryan Domet, Brett Boone, and Trevor Plouffe. Our own Trevor Plouffe. So Dex will throw out the clues. We can shout out guesses whenever we want to. If one of us hits a third strike, the other one wins automatically. Here we go.
All right. This Random Twin of the Week was undrafted.
Wow.
Undrafted. This Random Twin of the Week never won any awards, never made an All-Star game, but played in damn near 1,200 MLB games.
Interesting. Okay.
In those 11 seasons, this Random Twin of the Week had a career WAR of 15.5.
Now, undrafted could mean a couple things, because international players aren't drafted. They are signed as international free agents. So this could either be a player that was not good enough to be drafted, or could be an international free agent. Just going to throw that out there.
It's Random Twin of the Week. Played for 3 major league teams throughout his career. A little bit of an unconventional stat leading clue here, but this Random Twin led the league in putouts at his position in one season.
Is a putout when you throw someone or when you catch a ball, right? It's when you throw a ball. A tag.
That's an assist. So it's like a
put
first
out.
Place and...
out. That final. The final. The,
yeah.
Your
the final
glove
out
is yeah. in the glove. So, put yeah. out.
Okay.
Although catchers get credit for putouts on strikeouts.
Oh, really? Well, that's an interesting tidbit.
That's why they always say K23 to make it clear the first baseman.
K23. Random Twin of the Week had a career OPS of 700 in 644 games with the Minnesota Twins.
Wait, sorry. So a 700 OPS?
In 644 games with the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. That sounds like someone that probably batted second for Ron Gardenhire or something. Like a kind of a crappy OPS. You know. But a reliable fielder.
Played 11 seasons.
In 24 playoff games, this random twin of the week batted 279 and had an OPS of 771. A little bit better of a playoff hitter.
And how many playoff games?
24. All with the Twins.
Is it Tom Brunansky?
Bruno.
That OPS can't be it.
Incorrect. Not correct.
Yeah, that OPS. So, okay.
24 playoff games.
Just 74 career home runs for this random twin of the week.
Really not him.
So that's tough. This is interesting. I feel like I'm honed in on.
Yeah, the era is definitely.
The era here. Well, wait. 24 playoff games is a lot of playoff games.
But they played a ton of, but I mean, that team played a ton of playoff games.
Not really.
Well, they made the play. They made the playoffs.
You know, like so not really.
2002 to 2000.
But it would have been. 10. Okay. It's Nick Punto.
Nick Punto. Incorrect. One of you two is in the right era. One of you two is not.
It's Phil is. It's got to be Phil.
Well, mathematically, it has to be me.
Now that I think about it, because they didn't play enough playoff. I mean, they went to World
Cup.
Oh, no.
Or did they?
No, it wasn't.
No. No, they did. No, they could have.
One of you is in the right era, and one of you is not in the right era. It's a random twin of the week. Finished fourth in Rookie of the Year voting when he qualified.
How aggressive do I want to be here?
Okay.
Randy Bush.
Greg Egney.
Oh, one of us got it, didn't we?
Incorrect.
Oh, we're both down to our last
so
guess.
Bush, so Phil guessed Bush, I guess Gagne.
Dude.
This random twin of the week had 16 hits in the World Series.
Dan Gladden.
Ding, ding, ding.
Let's
damn it.
Go!
I was just about.
Oh, man. That was in Judd's wheelhouse right there, dude.
Fuck. I was just about to say Dan Gladden. I was.
Danny Gladden. That was a great one, Dex. Was trying to go through, like, okay, a guy. So he was undrafted. Danny Gladden was undrafted.
The Giants just signed him, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. He was
with the Giants, went to the Twins.
Damn it.
Tigers.
Yeah, man. There it is.
Although I'm not going to kick myself too hard. Not going to kick myself too hard. Tough day. All right.
So yeah, Judd, man, that's Judd's head spinning now because it's been about 2.5 months and these last, well, Dan Gladden was in your wheelhouse. Craig Monroe probably wasn't.
No,
really
Craig Monroe was not.
Saw him on over the weekend.
Craig Monroe? Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And Matt Lecroy was in the presser on Press Box Monday because he coaches the Rochester Red Wings who are playing the Saints this week.
Yep. Okay.
Look back, and I was like, that is Matthew Lecroy.
How big is he now?
Is he a big guy? Yeah, he looks exactly
like you'd think Matthew Lecroy would look.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah. I think you could pick – I think you could honestly pick him out of it. Like, that's Matt Lecroy, isn't it? You would be able to pick him out of a crowd.
That's hilarious.
Nice.
All right, that's the end of this episode here of the Score North Twin Show. If you haven't already, please click the subscribe button on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched about 6 weeks ago. Appreciate you guys. Wherever you consume it, whether it's YouTube or Apple or Spotify, thank you for supporting here. The Twins aren't dead yet. Thank God for the Chicago White Sox, everyone.